Welcome back to A Mime Soapbox. Today, we have a special guest, a little bit close, near, and dear to my heart. If for those listening and know my background, I'm sure you'll understand shortly. We have Dave Testa. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Dirty GG?
I'm doing good talking to you, brother. How are things going right now?
Yeah, we're just hanging out, you know, getting ready to do an ESL Open Cup. America is tonight. And just fun.
Yeah, you've been, how many ESLs have you casted now? It's been quite a few, right?
We're getting there. I mean, I'm a newer caster on it. I'd say I skipped some, but I've done, I don't know, about good. I think I've done about four of Americas in Korea. So I want to say I've done six to eight so far.
Sick. So let's take a step back. So basically what I've realized since knowing you, and we'll talk about how I met you in a moment, but you're basically the Batman of StarCraft. I figured this out earlier today, thinking about, you know, what I wanted to talk about and express to you. But, you know, you have by day, you know, upstate New York, tech support for the school system, standard working man. And then by night, one of the new up and coming large faces of the StarCraft world. Do you think that's fair to say?
Well, thank you. I don't know if I'm large per se, but, you know, I think I'm getting a little more out there, but yeah, that sounds pretty accurate, I guess. I mean, we're getting,
well, I mean, you're a big Twitch boy now, right? And I know when we first met, you were a small streamer, Andy, and now you've become synonymous with StarCraft. Like with modern StarCraft 2, I don't think there are many people left that don't know who you are. And I think that's very fair to say.
Well, we're still branching out, you know, it's getting to know a few people, you know.
So what do you attribute your massive growth and success within the last year or two?
Just constant, nonstop ladder and sticking my neck out into tournaments and trying to reach out to players and just kind of constantly being involved in the community, really. A lot of community outreach, I'd say, in the StarCraft 2 community.
Yeah, because, I mean, what I've noticed is you're basically like a networking master, right? Like, I remember you being a 7 to 12 viewer, just a ladder grind to a full brand community marketing and branching out environment that you've created where you have like every connection in the StarCraft world imaginable now, and you get to do things like cast ESL because you were recently picked up by Psystorm Gaming, right?
Yeah, it was, especially in terms of StarCraft, definitely recently, because, you know, like, you know, in terms of goated in most communities, some games and would consider Serral like, oh, he's like a has-been, you know what I mean, from how things are nowadays. But, you know, like, yeah, it's been since, I want to say September, August. So it's not been that long, really.
Yeah, it really hasn't. It's been really fun, you know, to watch you grow, because I remember, like, what I was introduced to you by our mutual friend Slip Jip. I think I was watching him stream while I was at work, when I was still working, and realized how young Slip Jip was, and then made a comment about how I need gamer buddies my age, and then he introduced me to you and your friends.
Uh-huh.
And this was maybe a year and a half's time, and you've, you know, taken your platform and your Twitch stream from a standard every other day StarCraft streamer to one of the big up and coming casters, content creators, and almost, you could almost say, influencers of the StarCraft world. Kind of fun.
That's kind words. I've honestly not really thought of myself like that. I mean, but that's really cool to hear.
I mean, it's true, is it not? I mean, you, like, when I met you,
I would say I've had quite a few. I'm pretty thankful for the support from the community. But to be honest, if I had an answer for what you're saying, thinking about it, it's realistically, it's like I said, yeah, I did a lot of outreach, try to still stay involved with even amateur StarCraft, semi-pro, etc. But like,
that's where all the fun stuff is anyway.
Oh yeah, you know, it's the reality is, heck, going down to, I'm actually thinking of doing some Meta League tournaments, but the reality is too, is the StarCraft community is, sure, it's a smaller community now, you know, older game and everything. It just got such a cool, diverse group of people that can, in my opinion, I don't know if you agree, you really look at it, by and large, can set aside all the bullshit of everything going on and everybody's own lives and just be like, we have this one common thing that everybody's passionate about in different degrees, or passionate about hating ladder equally together from bronze to GM, you know?
These damn cheesers, they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
How many more times can I get cannon rushed?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so tell us more about Dave outside of StarCraft.
Well, you know, as you know, you and I know each other a little bit here, as you mentioned, to say the least. You know, I'm an IT guy for the Utica City School District. I'm basically doxing myself right now, but you know what? I just say it. I've been doing it for about 15 years. So I'm basically an OG there. And I've had it since then, and the last 6 years, though, I've been dwindling on it, admittedly, and trying to hide for the moment. I also have an IT business on the side. So I've been doing that for about 6-7 years, estimated. I can't remember shit.
But that's called being smart and diversifying.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that's it, about it. Other than that, I played guitar, went to Finger Lakes Community College, got a degree in music recording technology rather than going to RIT right out of high school to go into computer science because IT wasn't a thing. I realized I'm not that good at math and the cost was expensive as heck. So started that route, went into IT. I mean, I'd been doing IT since I was 10. So
yeah. Same. You know, yeah, actually, yeah. When I graduated out of high school, I went for computer science. And it was an absolute joke. I went to, unfortunately, this is before I was aware of what a liberal arts school is.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a liberal arts school for computer science, which doesn't make any sense now looking back. But when I was there, they tried to teach me Python programming through PowerPoint presentations.
Oh my God.
Think about that for a second.
That's rough, brother. I mean, yeah.
And then I got like A+ certified in high school way back when, right? And we're talking like 2006, 2005, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And we did all that through pen and paper tests. To get A+ certified, I touched a computer twice. And one of those times was, how do you put in a stick of RAM into a computer?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's, well, hey, I mean, still, it's a starting point, you know, and
computer degrees are a bunch of BS is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, they can, I mean,
certifications, yeah, like you can learn everything and do better doing it on yourself at home, watching a couple YouTube videos, getting your toesies wet and learning compared to paying, you know, $25,000 a year to go to a liberal arts school to get taught Python through PowerPoint.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's lots of cases. I could see spots where it's beneficial in certain areas now because everything's getting so, geez, you know, now you can go and the field, it's literally became a field. You know what I mean? If you're going into the analytical side of things and the scientific part, obviously CS is still obviously a thing, but like, even in, it's just weird how crazy everything's became since when you and I were younger, or even after you ended up going after, you know, like stuff has just changed so much that I still think you're absolutely spot on for a lot of IT jobs and just in the industry. But I've just been finding there are some really serious stuff where it's almost like you're going to school, like, but you're hit the nail on the nose, spending that time on schools that will do that sort of a thing. It's just a waste of money. If you're a big brain science-y kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like going in for engineering, physics, that sort of stuff. I'd say that you might want to, there's some stuff that kind of overlaps, you know,
not so much. That's true. Yeah. I just because I had a bad experience doesn't mean everyone's going to, right?
Oh no, yeah, but I mean, by and large, though, people getting into IT, I'd say, yeah, stick out. And I see people, honestly, that's working in high school. Not to diverge onto this stuff so much, and some of the things I've done with job shadowing and internships, and actually had former students work for me or use me as references or whatever, wanting to get their hands dirty on my side business. Realistically, the hands-on aspect's great. If they're still going to school for things, you could find, usually using it as that fall, you learn what you're by doing, but you're falling back on something to give you that leverage and moving up the ladder, kind of, you know what I mean? Like as far as in the field, just by how standards are in a lot of companies and stuff these days, you know, and that's the only exception. But like, truthfully, depending on what you want to do, basically, you know?
Yeah, but of course.
Some of the best network engineers I know, for example, they graduated high school and did a little studying, maybe did like a certification or two. That's about it on their own. They paid for the cert and had the company pay for it, actually, and they were good to go.
Oh, so, yes, that's by far the way to go, I think, at this point.
And honestly, they're, you wouldn't, like, anybody in the industry would be like, top-notch network engineer. Not even a question a thing, because they're ridiculously good. You know, so I totally agree with you.
All right, Dave, before we get into the hot and heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give you an opportunity here to, for all those listening, especially in your community that you've already built up, that's already, you know, one of the bigger in StarCraft, I think, admittedly. Do you have anything you want to tell them that maybe about you or of you that they may not know, may not be aware of? Is there a Dave secret or a stream secret? Maybe something you strive to do, maybe something you put some extra little spin and effort into that you want everyone to be aware of?
Honestly, little secret here on the podcast, I guess. Sure. You know what? The hell with it. We're going to throw some ambitions out there, because for me, any of these are possible, but I do have one guaranteed thing that it may end up being a pile of turds, but it's going to happen. I'm making my first cartoon this year. And with several people voice acting on it in the artwork style of Dave, totally not related to StarCraft per se. And maybe it's going to be related to StarCraft, but it's going to have to be.
Of course it is, right?
But what it's going to involve, even if it's not, is all people that in some way, shape, or form are part of the StarCraft community.
So we're going to get a Dave Testa original cartoon.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, I think it's gonna essentially become a community made cartoon from the StarCraft community, but Dave started, I guess.
This is gonna be like the what was it? Carbots? Is it called Carbots?
Oh, I mean, heck, yeah, I mean, Carbots has their stuff, but I think this is gonna be a little more in overlap of life. The random artwork I do sometimes has nothing to do with StarCraft, and then just twisted random stuff, you know, kind of drawn like a crude variety of Beavis and Butthead meets South Park.
What could be better?
But other than that, let's see.
Is there anything, maybe you have a large following now. Is there something about you or of you you would like them all to know? that might be missed from your internet persona.
Realistically, what you see is what you get, truthfully. I'm not going to lie. Like right now, I'm trying to do the podcasty thing. And what you see is what you get. You know, that's the thing about me, I guess. For the most part, I mean, I could be like anybody. I could be whatever. I will say I plan on cleaning up my act a little bit, but I think I know what you might be. One thing you'd be alluding to. I'm planning on getting some commentating coaching from Zombie Grub. So that should change some things for casting, but for the better. But like at the same time,
but the scoff is half of your personality, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So like realistically, it's just I'm going in with some specific things, basically is what my hope is, right? And I will say this, man, this is a bit of a debacle. I apologize. basically what I'm looking to do, if you really want the spicy juiciness outside of here, honestly, I've been focusing I put so much time into this crap that it's become part of me. Like Garth said in Wayne World, it's like a pair of underwear that you haven't changed for years. It just grows and becomes part of you. Like, realistically, we got crazier tournaments. We're going to have like random grandmaster, not just grandmaster, we're going to have random big streamer tournaments. All sorts of random stuff, co-op commander tournaments, just wacky shit is what to expect in 2022. And I bring some of this stuff up, but just in case, the wilder thing is we're going to continue going on to the networking in terms of my whole goal is just more to connect people to get them thinking outside of the box, to get people to start collaborating more and doing things in the community. And, like I've been doing with Chicken Man, as you know, and
I think it's more than obvious. You put more back into the community than you take out. I think that's a fair claim to fame to state. You put on out of pocket tournaments almost like once a week. Get your Maturino codes and all that, and you try and spread the love throughout the competitive StarCraft world, to where if there's ever a downtime, which it doesn't seem like there is, but if there is, you're there to fill that void and make sure there isn't.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I can say, hey man, it's Kirktown.
Old Kirktown. Dave, are you a conspiracy theory guy?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it depends.
What's your favorite conspiracy theory to ponder?
I mean, Paul's not dead.
Who?
You don't remember that from back in the day with the Beatles and the?
Oh no, he's he was body swapped. It was in the mid late 70s. He was body swapped, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really fun one. Like even his eye color changed and everything, and no one figured it out.
I had to throw you a curveball that you would not expect. I was like, all right, conspiracy theories. I'm thinking about this. I'm like, all right.
No, I got you. It's going to be hard to stump me on this one.
Yeah. And other than that, I'm not usually a super big conspiracy theorist. These days, mostly because I've been so, well, I will say this. I want to start one jokingly, but like maybe. What if Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard just for StarCraft, turn it into StarCraft Halo?
StarCraft Halo. So like we're going to go back to where there was a scrapped Nova first person or third person shooter coming out. Yeah, that got scrapped.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at. They're going to take StarCraft and all the IPOs and stuff of that, and they're just going to combine it with Halo. They're going to revive that project, right?
So and Nova becomes the new Cortana.
Exactly. And that's just, you know, you and I must be on the same wavelength with this, because that's what I was getting at. Exactly. They need to improve their Cortana system to rival Alexa and Google. Oh, shit. I just didn't want to make mine activated right there, you know?
I knew that's what was going on.
Yeah. They're watching me. Nah, I had to have some fun with you on that. But nah, I don't know, man. Like, realistically, conspiracy theory wise.
Yeah, Paul was body swapped. I think we can all agree on that one. That's obvious, right?
Pretty that's obvious. Clear assessment. I think Jimi Hendrix is still alive and well.
Yeah, it's Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Jimi Hendrix is Morgan Freeman now.
Yep. We'll just say he's also Jimi Hendrix is Morgan Freeman and Jay Leno. I'm just going to make that one in there. A little plot twist.
Have you seen a picture of Jimi Hendrix and Morgan Freeman next to each other?
No, I haven't. When you said that, I think I've heard some talk of this. It's funny when you brought that. I'm going to have to Google this right now. Let's see.
It's startling. I don't think age timelines line up quite well enough. Maybe they do, but it's pretty identical.
There's definitely some similarity in like their eyes and like
the nose, the freckles.
Yeah, the freckles a little bit. Yeah.
Do you ever just sit there and think, what if the world was
honestly
flat?
Brought up Jimi Hendrix, though. Like, Jimi Hendrix is, like, literally still, like, people are like, oh, it's a cliche in guitar snobs, because I was a guitarist for forever. Still, I think he's still kind of at the top, just in me personally, selfishly saying, probably the reason why I picked up the guitar. What was that? Well, sorry, you were going on to something. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was
going to
say, do you ever sit there and think, what if the world was actually flat?
I think if the world was flat, well, no, I can honestly say, I've had random thoughts thinking about flat Earth, and my own take on it is just, it's kind of funny to think about, but realistically,
I think it's a fun one just to think about, you know.
You're just
like
driving along. Yeah, exactly. Well, I could say as not a very well traveled guy, I wouldn't have to worry, but I'd be like, you know, you're just, you know, let's do a little trip over to Japan. Let's go fly around and whatever, and take one sharp turn, and the next thing you know, you're off in outer space.
So what do you think the future of StarCraft entails? Is it going to be a StarCraft 3, or is everyone going to jump ship for the upcoming Frost Giant project?
I'll be honest, in the conspiracy theory stuff, and I didn't mean to make this lame on anything. It's kind of, this is the first time I've been on a podcast, by the way, too. So we're
good.
Both in uncharted.
I'm glad I'm here for it.
Uncharted territory. Thank you, by the way, for having me. Of course. What I think is, it's entirely possible. Will it be the game we expect? I don't know what anybody would expect, truthfully, because a lot of the talent that was in StarCraft 2 has become Frost Giant. That being said, Activision Blizzard has put next to nothing into the RTS branch of their company and the StarCraft IPO. I think it's entirely possible we will see a StarCraft 3, but I do think more likely we're going to see StarCraft mobile games, StarCraft-based shooters, StarCraft-based this, that, whatever. And they just see, you know what I mean? There's obviously, you're a huge StarCraft fan as well, you know?
And I'm still waiting on the Nova shooter.
Yeah.
I was told it was going to happen when I was, you know, 16 or whatever.
I could see them doing something with that. They're going to play on a bunch of it, I think. I could see. Yeah, I remember looking at the artwork from it and what was leaked of it and whatever. And I think there was, I didn't actually play the leaked version. Wasn't there a leaked version out on the internet?
There was some screenshots, I know for sure. I don't know if there was a full leaked playable version or not.
I thought there was like a pseudo leaked one somewhere in the shadows for a while, but
do you play any other games ever, Dave, other than StarCraft?
I download them and I install them and play them a bit. You did get me to play Path of Exile on my own a bit for, I hope I can start brand new, because as I got into it, I was like, oh shit, this is really cool. I'll dabble and then I just forget it exists, or I'll be like, yeah,
StarCraft drags you back in. But the lurker clause, it just takes you right back in no matter what.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love it. And truthfully, I just got so attached. I'm to a point where I'm probably going to, but I will say I grew up on the, I was kind of equally a role-playing game kind of guy growing up. I liked platformers and stuff like everybody, or not everybody, but, you know, I'd say most people.
What about a StarCraft turn-based RPG?
Oh, that'd be sick. Yeah, like Fallout, and I was going to mention Fallout, actually. That would be a cool way to put StarCraft in, if that's what you're getting at, or, you know, like...
Yeah.
You can do an old kind of style of play, I think, with modern graphics, and I've not seen anybody really do that. That would be really cool. I like that idea.
I could say you either pick Kerrigan, Raynor, or... I don't know, whoever the Protoss weenie is, you know, and
we'd say
through a little
like Artanis or Zerat, honestly.
Yeah, Zeratul or whatever, and play through a turn-based campaign.
So I got to ask you actually a question, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
All right. So with that said. And I know you're like, oh, goddamn Protoss. It's the last patch. It's the last patch. Let's be real here. Everybody's just thinking Legacy of the Void Ray. But realistically, a lot of people were talking about it, and it's always mixed, and some people are hating on it. But out of the storyline, where even if people are like, oh, I hate Protoss in the play and the mechanics or whatever, in terms of lore, though, what do you think about Protoss and the lore of StarCraft?
Oh, Protoss lore is awesome. Like, each race has equally awesome lore. I think that was like a really fun, exciting part of StarCraft as a whole, was the world they created was so much more fun than the other worlds that existed at the time.
Yeah.
And each one had their like unique identifiers that would make one or the other branch out to you more than the others. Just by personality's sake.
Yeah.
Like there's no faulting any of StarCraft lore. Now we can fault shield batteries and void race speed movement and motherships and all that kind of stuff. We can get into that, but the lore story and vibe and theme of StarCraft, I think, is unrivaled amongst most gaming IPs. It's really difficult to beat.
And then, for sure. It's pretty cool. And going back, now I found it. Now we talk about StarCraft. Do you want to know the lore and the story and the narrative? The secret to Dave in the Dark Templar.
Do it. Let us have it.
That's a big one.
Do it.
So, other than my initials being there, now there was a reason... the DT has always stood out to me. It's the whole lore of the Dark Templar and how everything played out. And going back from Brood War to Legacy, when the Dark Templar first came out, I would say that it's that the whole storyline and narrative of the Narazim and into, admittedly, once Shadow Stride became an ability, and DTs can now blink. I was like, these are the most badass things in the game.
just think what I, what, you know, the, if, we're talking about ability mixing, because DTs should never be allowed to blink, obviously. What a mistake. But what if this was a big topic during the WOL days. What if Zerglings had an upgrade to have terrain traversing abilities like Reapers?
Oh God, that there'd be no way to defend it in any.
I mean, they're Zerglings, but how fun would that be?
Yeah, that would be something. I think Terran, honestly, like people meme on the photon cannons, but I think that's where we'd probably see. Because of that, they'd have to. Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd make it fun. Like I know what you're saying.
Or what if it's like you go speed, and then you go cracklings, right? But then there was an upgrade past that where they were like Reapers.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say,
you know, make sure it's late game, so it's fair that you should already have your defenses established by that point in the game. And if we get to Reaperlings, like you probably already lost. But like it's cool.
Can I actually give you an unbiased opinion real quick on the balance of StarCraft?
Do it.
And why I think everybody's salty about void rays and batteries, and some people say get rid of batteries altogether. And I think that's truthfully, if you see it on all sides, and as I've been casting and stuff, right?
Get rid of the batteries, bring back the mothership core, but make the mothership core weaker than it was.
I have a a lot of people say that, and I've seen people of different degrees and why a lot, even on the pro side, really argue for it. Protoss, the only healing they have is the battery. Battery overcharge?
Well, over time, they gain shields back.
But I understand. I'm just getting into this, the whole thing. Over time, but like you forget, like in one matchup, right? PVZ, there's no EMPs. So right away, you're basically just dead to Terran. Like without batteries, there's so many circumstances where, like not just at the pro level, at any level, those batteries actually are affected by EMPs too, by the way. There's broken stuff, quote broken, but powerful.
Yeah, but you can get batteries out way earlier than you can get ghosts. But
I speak as a scrub in the realm of us scrubs in StarCraft, right?
Okay.
But the thing is there's so much, like being somebody that's gotten the diamond in all three races, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care most of the time because I'm just, you know, it's I got to do what I got to do. You know what I mean? I do plan on spending a lot more time with Zerg again. I honestly learned a lot of things in how I play from learning some stuff from a Zerg player. So I have a weird in playing. I have a really strange setup where some of the stuff I do was originally founded in Zerg. And how my keyboard controls are. I don't know if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Like camera locations, da 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 da.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to the extreme APM required to play Zerg compared to TOS.
For me, no. I
think honestly, in general, you're not creep spreading. You're not injecting. You're not taking care of your queens and making sure they're where they need to be. Like, yeah. I feel like Zerg is a lot more intensive than Protoss can be.
It depends on the time. I argue from the Florencio school, though, who is still learning Zerg in his time, obviously, and we can laugh. And as a student of the sewers, if you will, no, I do my own thing. But like I will say this, my highest APM is not Terran; it's in Zerg. I get to about 250 for an old boomer. That's not too bad, you know.
Nope, it's just not at all.
I mean, that was my peak Zerg when I'm playing stuff, and it was probably ZVT.
Boomer buttons. We're going to call it boomer buttoning.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I'm boomer not disagreeing, buttoning. But it's just what the action that takes just for the macro cycle. What people forget, though, is the APMs isn't necessarily, I think it's kind of silly that even require that how fast you're going doesn't necessarily always dictate all of it.
I'm not stating like literal APM. I'm talking like Protoss doesn't have to inject. They don't have to take care of queens. They don't have to creep spread. Yeah. There's a lot that Zerg has to do that's a chore, while Protoss doesn't necessarily have those chores.
You have different, you have the chores become the infuriating waiting. And if you missed it, make one small mistake, and this is the thing, just like Zergs, you have to do all these things, and one small mistake, sure, can be massive. All the races have it. But with Protoss, I think, like, especially in that matchup, and PVZ, literally, it's obviously walling. It's stuff like that. But there's more to it, because if you're an F2er, you're just dead to Zerg, basically, as you see with me all the time, because you watch my stream when I'm laddering. But like, you literally, if you don't play the game, and now too, the funny thing is it gets rough, but like it's a tough matchup, I think, for everybody right now to even want to watch, because it becomes the same thing. But what I was getting to with all this stuff, honestly, myself, I think every little bits of tweaks, I agree with Steadfast. Steadfast has been a big proponent of maybe a little bit of adjustment to battery overcharge, not even removing batteries. And Steadfast is a Zerg player, remember.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of adjustment to the Void Rays.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds crazy. He's like, the balance seems like the best it is, but he's like, for like, if this was the state and the disruptor, just a little bit of tweaks and not like anything super crazy, just like, you know, maybe the speed, the duration of the disruptor, whatever. And I was listening to him, and he's like, literally, that's about it in the entire game. And I think we're good. And it was just Protoss. All he mentioned was Protoss stuff, but that was it. If that was all there was. But myself, what I think seems frustrating is, and everybody's forgetting, is we don't have those balance changes. We don't have those. Nope. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
We
just want. It's dead in terms of support. I don't think it's dead in terms of.
Well, I when I say dead game, it's always by support, not by community. Like, obviously, it's
the community's
purely dev support, which has been long gone, forgotten. The community is honestly gotten, I think, better over time after Activision has forgotten StarCraft.
I think Microsoft sees a gem in StarCraft, though.
It is a little gem. It's the greatest competitive esport of all time.
I think Microsoft sees this and they're like, all right, Age is going well. You know, we had some things happen, but I could potentially see some good stuff happen over time. Because again, it's going to take at least a year or two for them to buy the IPO. I could see some, say the end days of StarCraft 2 for support. I can see us having some more patches. I can see us having some more changes in the game.
Well, unfortunately, I believe the Microsoft buyout is going to take a span of 2 years.
Yeah,
it's fully implemented. So by that time, it's going to be hanging on by a thread, right?
Oh, I think we're going to be this little boost. Did you have, you know what I mean? Everybody, it's caused more of a ruckus right now, where I think it's what we needed, because we have people that are going to just do everything they can to keep it on full support, I think. You know what I mean? As much as we can, as much as they can, and we'll make it through it, and we'll see what the next step is. You know,
I hope so. I mean, I've been balls deep in the StarCraft world for 8 to 10 years at least.
Yeah, I honestly think the total.
I don't want to see it go away.
I think the total lifespan of the game, as far as whatever, we got another decade. We got another decade of StarCraft 2 is my take.
Maybe.
I think we can.
What if Zerg got a Mothership Core type unit?
A Mothership Core? I don't know. Like, I mean, I see.
You remember the Mothership Core era of StarCraft,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, like, give the Overlords machine guns upgrade?
No, just make, like, one, like, hive mind.
No, that's what I thought,
like, a
about
hive
that.
Mind unit, you know, that maybe. Well, I don't know. Helps with early Terran aggression and some of the Protoss shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But like, what if they had a unit? What if they had an ability that you can? It costs you money, but you can take an Overlord and make it do something.
Yeah.
Other than an Overseer or a Ventral Sax.
That could be
imagine that third thing. That's where I was getting at. But that going back,
like they turn into liberators, right?
Yeah, they have some kind of something they could do, even if it's like a low damage attack. That's some kind of.
That's all it needs.
That can attack a ground and air. That's an interesting thought. Like that gets in the theory crafting, but like. That's the hard part about
high risk, high reward, because you're messing with the supply count, right? Your overlords are your supply. So to make them an offensive unit, that's really scary.
Could you imagine actually being part of the balance teams in this stuff, though?
Oh, I would love it. I would eat up every second of it. I would become so obsessed in trying to figure out the best answers. It would completely destroy my life.
Yeah, but the thing is when you're on those teams, you gotta like the thing that makes it hard, but the thing that makes StarCraft magical, I think, more than like Warcraft 3, for example. If you'd agree with me on this, Warcraft 3, you have the humans, you have the orcs, you have the undead, you have the night elves. We have three races, but in that time, you know what I mean? You have TBT, TBZ, mm-hmm. TBP, and then you have ZVT, ZVP, ZVZ, PVT, PVZ, PVP. Getting the balances between not just the other races, but with themselves, that's a lot of work. So I think we're getting there, but just to add, it's just adding that maybe even taking the risk of throwing things askew. You obviously have the changes. It's just like, sometimes I almost feel like we went this direction where they were changing it, being cognizant of the changes. But as we found in the Wings of Liberty tournament, we did, man, the game is just beyond so different.
Other than Terran.
Terran's
similar, yes. Very similar.
They had the least to adapt to, but back then, as everybody agreed on, truthfully, everybody from the Zergs to whatever, the pro players to whatever, you know, everybody going back to it, back then, how much the game changed. Protoss used to be the highest APM intensive race. Crazily enough, just because of what you had to do to, you know what I mean? Because of the balance of the game, it was more, not so much on the macro.
Well, because Protoss actually had to earn their incredibly efficient supply efficiency, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you got your mothership core, but you're going to be putting down sentry force fields, which no one does anymore. You got to take care of that. Blink micro is way more important than it was.
Well, than it is now. Stalkers used to be the thing. Is a lot of there's so many different units. You know what I mean? Like it's the abilities are different. Everything's different. And I think people like Bang mentioned and Zerg side pre Viper. Why a lot of Zergs loved HOTS was because of the ZVZ games we had. You know what I mean? Like there was Muta versus Muta used to be a thing. That was a HOTS thing, you know?
Yep. Yeah, HOTS was a beautiful time.
I think all these times actually are as much as like everybody's looking at this period, because like even in the scuffed eras and the times, it's just fun to think about and look back on. Like, remember when the command center was broke, where you could pick up a freaking planetary fortress and a bunker and all this stuff in it? And then the counter patch was Medivacs couldn't pick up units other than SCVs.
All right, Dave. If you got to create a real time strategy game,
I didn't know if you agree with me on that. That was fucking hilarious, though. It was broken as hell, but it was
stupid. Yeah, it was dumb.
It was basically. I thought it was funny as hell, though. I'm like, I can't believe this actually went through. But it took three patches for it to be fixed.
But if you could make an RTS game from another universe, another, you know, I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah, another completely different thing.
What would it be? What lore backing, you know, a movie, a show, a different game, like what would you want to be converted into an RTS?
Honestly, they have some that are claiming to be RTSs, they're not, but I would like to see some kind of hybrid between time travel periodically, but with the myth of the time periods. So in other words, we can go back to the Age of Empires times, but with it comes, you know, all the myth of the Roman mythos, the Greek mythos, going back to mythology, combining it with the stuff of the time to now, and the future, right? And the future would just be like, you know, we'll say like Star Trek, right?
Are we getting into like Bill and Ted territory here?
Yeah, kind of meets Bill and Ted meet Count Dracula and
Genghis Khan.
Medusa. Yeah, exactly. Where they're then there, but they're adding in fictional elements and mythological elements.
So they meet Dracula and give him an iPad.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like pseudo deities. But then in the future, then you factor in the future is like, all right, the future contingent, like you'd say like a race in StarCraft would be like, you know, they have, but we're going to time period specific myths. So, you know, Count Dracula being like timeless, he could potentially be in all of them, you know, but realistically, you know, you got your laser weapons, your warp drive and all this, but you're going back and you have different things from whatever. And we could even add in, say, in the mid 1900s, you have Godzilla. You know what I mean?
Nice.
But that would be it. And then otherwise, it would be, I'd say a number two would be a blend of just a horror themed thing where you have factions based on like say horror characters. So you have like the
creature of the Black Lagoon and his goobers, right? And then you got Dracula and his goobers and Medusa and her goobers.
And Freddy Krueger and Jason and all that. Yeah, that's kind of where I was at. And otherwise, like, I think there's ways of doing, like, StarCraft, we have those many things with, it would be interesting to see kind of, like, different universes. I'd love to see a true Star Trek. I wish there was a way that it's never going to happen because of all the rights and whatever. But imagine if we had like a Star Trek and a Star Wars, like true, like Star Trek or Star Trek, Star Wars.
Yeah, do like Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, and like Stargate or something all in one game. That would be insane.
But like kind of in the mechanical micro macro basis of StarCraft ish. Rather than like Age of Empires based where it's more tech and whatever and or one of those babysit the tech, not the units kind of games, like a more micro intensive game that's not a MOBA, you know what I mean? Like maybe, you know, it's never going to happen. Or even in each of those universes you could do it.
I don't understand why there hasn't really been a Pokemon real-time strategy yet.
That's hilarious. That's actually really funny. Yeah, what are your thoughts on some?
Just think of like with Pokemon. I know you're not a huge Pokemon guy, but I mean, you got all the different types of classes of Pokemon. You got fire, water, grass, psychic, stone, blah, blah, blah. And you can choose one of those classes and your units are Pokemon from those classes.
Yeah, man.
So you could, like, instead of playing Protoss, you play psychic and, you know, you can have Mr. Mime and Jinx and Mewtwo's running around. Like, that would be pretty freaking cool, I think, you know. Or you could, instead of Zerg, you play Insect from Pokemon. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there that Nintendo really hasn't branched into.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much creativity could go into that game. Like, a lot of imagination.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of fun.
Do you have any other thoughts? Talking to you, bringing back the boomer in me, just got me thinking of something.
What's that?
Remember Mario RPG?
I do.
Imagine Mario RTS.
Yeah, right?
You said Pokemon, you got me thinking. I'm like, I never thought about that until this conversation.
It could be like the Mario clan, the Luigi clan, the Wario, the Waluigi, the princesses, Bowser. I mean, or like the water level stuff. Or the Yoshis, you know, like you have all these different factions. They have all these specialties, or even you can make it more broad and do Mario, right? And Mario and his clan, which is pretty broad. Then you have Donkey Kong and his clan.
Yeah,
right?
that'd be awesome.
And branch it out even further. And then Bowser and his clan, and maybe the Shy Guys and the Ba-Bombs are a clan. Like, that could be super fun and have it having that kind of paper or claymation feel that like Paper Mario or Mario RPG had.
In the theme style of the game. Yeah.
Give it like a really nice cartoony vibe. And
well, they could do it like
slow it down, like, but it's like it's fast, but slowed down. Like the animations are slowed down and it's cute and visual, but you could have like a very high APM limit to it. That could be really fun too. But like Nintendo is so against anything competitive or aggressive. They never go for it. And the opportunity's there right in front of them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If Mario RTS was coming out next week, would you not be taking that day off of work and ready?
Oh hell yeah. That'd be fucking great.
Good to go. You'd be like, oh, I'm definitely going to play the Koopas, and I'm going to like try and main Piggy. Dude. And that could be really exciting,
Yeah, that's just damn shame. There's so many companies that like we grew up with. I would love to. This is going to sound crazy too, but if you went into that and you think of the tons of the literally approaching dozens of games, imagine. We're not going to say the franchise. We're going to say the company. Imagine Square Enix with Final Fantasy,
Fantasy RTS. Get out of here,
Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger, and all the amazing games they've had and series. But Final Fantasy, obviously, you and I are like Kirk Down.
I love Final Fantasy. God, a Final Fantasy Tactics RTS would literally steal my life away.
Man, but just think of it if they like put different side the factions, like you could do. Oh man, I don't know, dude.
There'd be like the humans, and then the black mages, and the Karari, and. I there's so much. I mean, then you can break it down even by kingdoms with like Ivalice and everywhere else. And wow, so, yeah, we have a plethora of a lot of fun RTS games that should exist because RTSs are unfortunately kind of dead. Thanks to MOBAs, I think we can agree is what killed RTSs. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. MOBAs, I don't even honestly, it's myself. Totally different. Like it's like a combination of what we get from. Would you agree with me in this one? I think it's like Diablo and the Warcraft and the Starcraft. They kind of took that and just put it into one thing.
Like, oh, yeah. No, they took the best of a lot of different worlds and made a very simple, easy to pick up game that has an incredibly high skill ceiling.
Yeah.
And it just kind of killed RTS games because they're more accessible. You don't have to be, a 350 APM Korean to take advantage of the game type, right?
Yeah.
So MOBAs killed RTSs. We're never going to get any of these fun RTSs we just talked about. Unless someone listening, has some weight and pulse somewhere. So we can talk about fun RTSs all day, but it's never going to happen. And I think we're going to sit down soon again and really talk about the future of RTSs and what could be potentially amazing that like we're going to take a month, right? And we're going to think about it and come back with the best RTS ideas we got. And we'll pick this up then. But in closing, Dave, is there anything else you wanted to tell your boys and your multiple communities before you get out of here that you wouldn't usually say on stream?
Well, nothing that I wouldn't say on stream or off stream. As much as we got into the talk of education earlier, I just got to say, just remember, when all else fails, take them to Princeton.
Take them to fucking Princeton. You damn right, Dave. Well, thanks for joining us, man. Drop us your socials real quick, right? So your Twitch is?
Twitch.tv/DaveTestaSC. And my Twitter is Dave Testa.
You heard it here. Make sure you follow my Soapbox on Instagram so you can let me know what you thought about the episode and if you had any questions about it or tidbits you want to add for the next episode. And we'll talk to you then. Thanks, Dave, man. Love you, brother, and enjoy the evening.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, have a good night, brother. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon.